an excellent song choice, Owen, to introduce this subject. And I think it encapsulates the message to a large extent. It is great to see you. And we're so thankful for each one who is here. We have several visitors with us. Thank you for being with us. We truly mean it when we say you are our honored guest. We're delighted to see you in our presence. We hope you'll stick around and let us get to know you better. And I would remind everyone, although I believe folks do a really good job of this, is that look out visitors first, then talk to your friends later. And let's be sure that if our visitors have children, that we direct their children to a Sunday school class if they desire to go. And also would remind folks and inform our visitors that we have two adult classes, one here in the auditorium. Ben teaches, does an excellent job with it. And then I teach a marriage class in room 17. So all are welcome to attend either one. Tonight there's something really special going on. It's quite an event. It's called the Assembly of the Saints. Worship to our God. I hope that everyone will choose to put God first tonight. And let me say this, and I'm making more comments than I typically do. I don't tend to like to spend pulpit time for comments, but sometimes I feel like some things need to be said. But let me say this, that I appreciate the eldership here at Willow Avenue. I've noticed since I've been here, which, believe it or not, is going on 6 months that Stacy and I have moved here, and Daniel, when he's with us. But I've noticed several of the things that just caught my attention about how that the church here assembles. I know of congregations that will change worship time or dismiss evening worship for the Super Bowl. What a message that sends to people, especially to our younger generation, about what's really important in life. And that doesn't happen here. Even when the roads were snowed over, there was ice on the roads, we assembled for worship. With the caution of please choose wisely and don't put yourself in peril, but if you can come, the doors are open. And I love that philosophy. And I am thankful to be a part of a body of Christ that really puts value on worship to God. And that's what this is about. And that leads into our subject for today as we ask the question. Am I queued up, Becca? Because my clicker is not advancing, and it is on. There we go. There's our question. Should a Christian be a member of a local congregation? Now, to some, this is going to seem like maybe a question like, well, it's kind of a given, but not to everyone. And I have been asked this question many times. And I've been asked this question from different perspectives, and some wondering if they have a requirement of being a member of a local congregation, and others asking, is it scriptural to have membership in a local congregation? And so, and even have had the term membership question. And so, let's take a look at what the Bible has to say about this subject. And hopefully, if you are a member of a local congregation here at Willow Avenue, or you're visiting us from another congregation of the Lord's Church,
hopefully this will help you to understand and maybe have a deeper understanding and appreciation for that sense of belonging and what it means. And if you're not a member of a local congregation, but you are one who has been baptized for the remission of their sins and added to the Lord's church, and maybe this will help you to understand as well what you should do in terms of your service to God. We are having issues. I am sitting up here hitting this button repeatedly. And I don't know if my remote, my battery's good. All right. And we're going to give it another try. And if not, we're just going to ditch the PowerPoint. I don't like to struggle with a PowerPoint. Okay. If y'all get it back there, if you figure out what's going on, and just motion to me and we'll try it. But in the meantime, let's take a look at some things here. So first of all, let's define some terms that we're talking about. First of all, what is a Christian? When we say Christian, there we are. Thank you. I love these guys. Appreciate them. Whenever we say Christian, what are we talking about? Who are we talking about? We're talking about one who has been baptized for the remission of sins and has been added by Christ to his church. Now, Ryan read for us Acts 2, verses 38 through 47. And you see there that what that entails, how that Acts 2, verse 47 says, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, what does that mean? The Lord added to his church. What is he referencing? The church in Jerusalem? Well, technically, yes. At that point, because that is the only congregation that existed. But, on a broader sense, no. Because as the word, the gospel was spread, and as Christians were brought to, as people brought to Christ and became Christians in other areas, they would congregate in other areas, their locale, and the Lord would have added them to his church wherever it might be. And we read after Saul begins persecuting the church, and there arises this persecution of the church. And we see how that Stephen, the first martyr, was killed there in Acts chapter 7. And then in Acts chapter 8, that Saul is breathing out threatenings and slaughterings in the church, and how that every people went everywhere preaching the gospel. As they went, they would then be preaching and teaching others, and congregations would be established in other places. They were still a part of the church to which Jesus added them, regardless of where they were, and wherever they ended up and congregations were established there, then those were people who were added to the same church. And you know what? Over 2,000 years later, that hasn't changed. When we obey the gospel and we confess Jesus as the Son of God and we are baptized for the remission of our sins, Jesus adds us to his church. He only established one. He only built one. There's only one. And it is his church to which he established, to which he adds us, and we then have a responsibility to respond to that in a manner in which the scriptures have prescribed for us. The church to which we are referring, the church, the word church, is a translation of the Greek word ekklesia, which simply means a gathering. A gathering that is set apart from the rest of the population. That's the actual literal meaning of it. It is applied in the scriptures to the church that is the body of Christ, universal. Now, that term universal, there's another word for that. It's Catholic. Now, we have come to know the word Catholic as that which describes a church over which the Pope presides. The church in a very real sense, and please hear me here, don't anybody go from here and say I said something I didn't say. The church, in a very real sense, is Catholic. That is the strict meaning of the word, that it is universal. That is why the term Catholic was used to start with in reference to that which has become a church that is presided over in Rome. Jesus presides over his church, which is universal in nature, and it is not the Catholic Church, and it is not a denomination. It is the church that he established on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, after he had promised in Matthew 16:18, and when he had said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my," it belongs to him, "church." It is one. "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." It has never stopped to exist in principle, and I believe in reality. Although there have been times where it's only been a remnant, a very small remnant, who have been faithful to the Lord and to his church. So in a universal sense, the term church refers to the body of Christ, to which all have been scripturally baptized and have been added by Christ. But in a local sense, the term church also refers to the local congregation of Christians recognized by a general assembly of the saints, as we read in Hebrews chapter 10, and organized according to the scriptural pattern to which Christ has organized it. And so those are what we are talking about. And so someone may say, "Well, I don't need to be a member of a local congregation because Christ just added me to his church." As if one precludes or excludes the other, and it doesn't. And the Bible doesn't teach that. Now, the following definitions are from Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the online version. A member, one of the individuals composing a group. And so if you are an individual that is a part of a group, a larger number of people that you are a part of, you are a member. Therefore, by definition of the term, you have membership. A person baptized or enrolled in a church is also one of the definitions from Webster's Dictionary. The membership, the state or status of being a member. And so when we say, should one have membership or become a member of a local congregation, then we're saying, should they be one of the people that compose that body of believers? And there are different ways, of course, of expressing this. One could say that they identify with a local congregation. It could also be said that one is chosen to serve under a local eldership, assuming the local congregation has an eldership. Not all do. They should all be striving for that, but not all do. And so there are different ways to say basically the same thing, and having membership is one of those ways. We are members of the Church Universal, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. We are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. Now, his body there is a reference to the church as the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Now, this is talking about his body, the church universal. Whether you be here in Cookeville, Tennessee, or in Rapid-Shatavaram, India, or David, Panama, wherever you are, if you are a part of the body of Christ, has added you to his church, then you are a part, you are a member and a part of that body universal. "For we being many are one body, so also is Christ, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit, for in fact the body is not one member, but many. Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. All of the many different members compose the one body, and individually members of one another. You see, you can't get away from that. You can't get away from the fact that when Christ adds us to his body, he not only adds us to him, his body, but he adds us to each other. And so the passage that Ryan read for us from Acts chapter 2 shows us how that the church was so much involved in each other's lives, was so much a part of each other. That was God's established plan. They were a part of each other's lives every single day. Christians are commanded to submit to elders. And I want to focus on that word commanded. This is not an option. It is a commandment. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. So far from this passage, from this verse, here's what we have. Me, Michael Grimes, I have a commandment from God to obey and be submissive to those who rule over me. Who is that? It is the ones who watch out for my soul. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Yes, elders must give an account for how they watch out for the souls of those who are in the local body of Christ. The response that we as members have who are under the watch of those who are responsible for our souls is to submit to that authority. The authority does not come from that man. The authority does not come from any single individual. It doesn't even come from the body of elders. The authority has been placed by God. Those who step into that role simply step into a role of authority that is already in place, that God has put in place. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. But the elders, so we see here that I have a command from God to submit and be submissive to the authority that God has placed within the eldership. But the elders only have authority. The authority of elders is limited. It is limited in its scope, and it is limited in its locale. It is limited in its scope in that elders only have the authority that God's Word gives them. They don't have authority outside of that which God's Word has provided. And they are limited to the local congregation. Acts 20, verse 28, Paul, in speaking to the elders there, as he takes his leave, says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. You take heed to that flock that is here with you, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. What a responsibility to be a shepherd of God's church, which was purchased with the blood of Jesus. If you haven't said thank you to an elder lately, boy, it'd be a good time to do that, because this reminds us of the of the enormity of the responsibility that they have. But in order for me to fulfill this command that God has given me to submit to the local eldership, I must be under a local eldership. Thus, it is necessary for Christians to be members of a congregation in order to submit to an eldership. I have known people who would not place membership within a congregation. Typically, there are two causes that I have seen for that. One is apathy. They don't want to be committed. They don't want the responsibility that comes with being committed. And they don't want the accountability that comes with being part of a local congregation. And the other is pride. They're not willing to submit. There will be a lot of Christians very surprised on the day of judgment because of their pride. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. So notice what we can glean from this verse. So here is this young congregation. That's notable. It's a very young congregation. It's only been in existence for a few years. Yet it has elders, bishops, the two words are used interchangeably, and deacons. Isn't that something? That tells us something, doesn't it? I've known congregations that have existed for 50 years and haven't had elders and deacons. And I would not say that a congregation is unscriptural if it does not have elders or deacons. There must be the men qualified within that congregation. And some small congregations simply, they're so small that they don't have. I know of a congregation that has one man in it, several women. And that body continues to meet, and they continue to strive to do the Lord's will in their community. I would never suggest that they're unscriptural at all. But God's plan and God's intent is that a local body of Christians be under the oversight of those who are watching for their souls. And God has designed the local congregation in such a way that it is overseen by elders and served by deacons with an evangelist who preaches and teaches the Word of God. That doesn't necessarily have to be a located, supported monetarily evangelist, but that evangelism must be taking place, and there is scriptural principle for that to be one person who does that. Titus 1 verse 5. For this reason, I left you in Crete that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. So Paul tells Titus, there's something left lacking here. While we've gone through and we've taught the Word of God and folks have responded to the gospel and there are Christians and there are churches and there are local congregations, but there's something lacking. And that is what I would suggest. If a congregation were to ask me and they don't have elders, what do you think about that? I would have to say that the Bible says, Paul says, that there's something lacking. You need to be working toward that. And you may not be in a position to fulfill that now, but you need to be working toward that. And again, notice the locale. To appoint elders in every city. Wherever they have gone, and there is a local body of Christians in that city, that elders are appointed there. It's interesting to note who does the appointing here. The evangelist, actually, in this case. However, It should also be noted that there were no existing elderships where Timothy was going, or Titus was going, excuse me. And so someone had to go about going to the congregation, teaching the men and women there, and finding those men who met the qualifications. Once a body of elders is in place, they have the authority then to perpetuate that as they seek out those who are qualified and have a desire. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace among yourselves. Pull together. Be working toward the same goal. And those who God has placed within this role of authority and overseeing the church, shepherding the church, and being responsible for the souls of the members of that church, you submit to that, and you love them, and you recognize them, and you esteem them very highly in love. But again, unless one is in a local body, a local congregation that is overseen by an eldership, they can't do this. Christians are told to assemble with the saints. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Let us consider one another. Notice that. Let's stop right there. Hit the pause button. Let us consider one another. This isn't about me. This isn't about what I want. This isn't about my opinion. This isn't about what I like. And this isn't about what meets my needs. The devil has done a good job of sowing that lie and causing discord among brethren because of pride and selfishness. This is about me submitting myself to Christ and crucifying myself to Him and serving in His body to glorify my Lord. Not about me. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. What are you stirring up? Some people stir up division. Some people stir up strife. But God's desire for me and His body is that I fulfill a role of stirring up my brother and my sister to love and good works. That's what He wants of me. And He wants me to be a part of a local congregation. He wants me to be a member of that congregation so that I can go in and I can start stirring people up and I can start helping people to get to heaven. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I've heard preachers fall all over themselves trying to get around what is so obviously stated in this passage. I call it linguistic acrobatics. You twist yourself in a pretzel trying to use words to get around what words obviously mean. It's pretty simple, isn't it? We're not to forsake the assembling of the body of Christ. Now, if I start looking for ways to define the word forsake to excuse my desire to be elsewhere where the body of Christ is meeting, then I've got the wrong heart. I've got a heart problem. I should desire to be with God's people. I should love God so much and love the body of Christ so much and love worshiping God so much that there is nowhere on the face of this earth that I would rather be than with God's people as we worship God. And it is up to me to provoke that in you, but not as your preacher, as a brother in Christ who labors alongside beside you, as you provoke me to do the same. And you can't do that if you're not present. You can't. You can't do that if you're not committed. You can't. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Christians are told to give an account for each other. We just saw where we are to consider one another, to provoke each other, and to love and good work, and we are accountable to each other. One of the reasons why I see sometimes people who don't want to become a member of a particular congregation, but maybe I've seen folks just kind of float around from one to the other, and nobody ever knows that they're not going at all, because they just kind of show up on occasion and say, well, if they're not here, they must be over at another congregation, and there's no accountability. I need accountability. I need you to help me get to heaven. I'll admit that. I need you. You edify me. You build me up. You lift me up. You have expectations of me, because God has expectations of me. Again, not as your preacher, as your brother in Christ. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You got burdens? You should never have to go through life bearing those burdens alone. Not when there's a body of Christ. Not when you have a spiritual family. That's what we're here for. What we do. It's who we are. Bear one another's burdens. And so, catch that. And so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? I believe it's the law that he gave us, that you love each other as I have loved you. What's that? What did he do? How did he show us his love? He sacrificed himself for us. And he expects us, desires of us, to have the same sacrificial love for each other as we bear each other's burdens. But brother, sister, if you're not a member of a body, if you're not a part of a group of Christians who are striving together to get to heaven, how in the world can anyone help you bear your burdens? And how are you going to fulfill your God-given obligation to bear someone else, the other people's burdens, if you're not a part of their lives? Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also the interest of others. You see here again, it's not about me. It's about me being a part of a larger body so that I can serve others. There's no selfishness. There's no room for selfishness in that. God designed the church so that the members make up the body. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 25 through 27. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for, here's that term again, one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are not the body of Christ. Now you are, the body of Christ and members individually. Yes, you are the body of Christ, but did you see something else here? Did you see how that when one member suffers, the others suffer with it? When one member rejoices, the others rejoice with it. Folks, he's not talking about people in a different locale. They didn't have Facebook, they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have phones or any other means, really, of communicating with people in a different locale, other than writing and waiting for the parchment to get there. He's talking about the people that you serve with locally. If one member suffers, all members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Let us be the body of Christ. Let us be the local congregation. Let us be the people who are known for lifting each other up, for bearing each other's burdens, for suffering with those who suffer, and rejoicing with those who rejoice, weeping with those who weep, so that people will desire to be a part of us. We'll desire that. And you know what? Will Avenue has a reputation for that. Just yesterday, I was communicating with a preacher in a different place in Tennessee, but not Middle Tennessee. And he was talking about just how highly he thinks of the Willow Avenue Church of Christ. This congregation has a great reputation. Everywhere I go, of course, now that I'm here, people know that, and I hear it everywhere. What a great congregation. What a wonderful group of people. Let's build on that. And let's be so involved with each other and doing the Lord's work, that the whole world sees it. You can't miss it. And that people will look at it and they'll say, I want to be a part of that. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, and God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you, peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So notice there, he's addressing the local congregation, and that's the point I want to make from that verse. The addressee is a local congregation there in Thessalonica, the Thessalonians. And then later in chapter 5, verse 27, he says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. And so this letter, we see it as a book in the New Testament. It was actually a letter, an epistle, a letter written to that local congregation. But notice this, that he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, as he's writing to the church there at Thessalonica. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, and God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you, peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the address to the local congregations. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is fitting, because of your faith that grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you, each member, the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. In the same passage here, the same short passage of three verses, we find an address to the local congregation and then a discussion of the local membership, the members of that congregation, and how that they interact to each other to build up that congregation and to build up the Lord's church and to do the Lord's work. The church in nature is spiritual, not physical. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. John 18, verse 36. It is universal. It is composed of individual souls. Each soul is a member of the church universal. The members are then collected into congregations locally, and those congregations provide the means to fulfill some of the commands that God has commanded. Elders, the local assembly, not forsaking the assembly, and such. So in conclusion, yes, every Christian should be a member of a local congregation, if at all possible. It would be very hard, if not impossible, to fulfill certain commands that God has given without being a member of a local congregation. We've looked at those commands. I don't see how one can fulfill them without being a part of a local congregation. Local membership helps the individual Christian to thrive. That's what we receive. And to serve Christ, that's what we give. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the members of this body of Christ here at Willow Avenue. I'm so blessed to be a member of the Church of Christ at Willow Avenue. I'm thankful for those who are here today who are not members of this congregation who may be visiting from elsewhere. I'm thankful for those who are visiting with us, investigating to see if perhaps you might want to be a member of this congregation. And I commend you for that. But it's a great spiritual investment that you need to make sure you're making the right decision. I do hope and pray that every one of us will commit ourselves to fulfilling the work that our Lord has given us and being a part of a local body that will enable us to do that work, to do so sacrificially and with all of our heart. If you're not a child of God, then I would welcome you to consider the Lord's invitation to be a part of His body, His church, the one He established, the one that is what we read in the New Testament, worships and is constructed like what we read in the New Testament. And we can do that. I've had people ask me sometimes, well, how do I join the Church of Christ? And my answer is, you can't. No one has ever joined the Church of Christ. It is impossible. The only way you can become a member of the Church of Christ, that is, and understand what I'm saying when I say Church of Christ, I'm not talking about a denominational name. I'm talking about, as it is used in the Scripture, a church that belongs to Christ. The only way that anyone can ever be a part of the body of Christ is to do it just like we read in Acts chapter 2 and other places of the Scriptures. New Testament, where people cried out in Acts 2 verse 37, they were pricked in their heart and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? The answer came back in verse 38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent, turn away from sin, be baptized for the remission of your sins. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of Christ. Verse 41 says that those who believed were baptized. Verse 47 says, and this is how you become a member of the church that Jesus established. Verse 47 says, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. No man can add you to the church. You can't join the church, but Jesus Christ will add you when you obey Him and submit to His command. Be baptized for the remission of your sins and give your life to Him. We offer this song as a means of encouragement to you if you desire that this morning. If we can study with you further and maybe help you to understand this better, please let us know. And if you're a child of God this morning, but you're not committed to His body and you haven't promoted unity, maybe you've promoted division. Maybe you've not looked out for your brother and your sister. You've been too consumed with looking out for yourself. Or maybe that's not the case. Maybe you're a child of God striving to do the very best you can, but you've sinned publicly and some things that you just need to make right. You need the prayers of your brothers and sisters, or maybe you're struggling. And you just want to come to your spiritual family to come to you and love and support you, put our arms around you and pray for you. Please let us do that. Whatever your need is, would you come? All together we stand and sing.